It's the download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman with you till 11 o'clock tonight. Coming up at 10 o'clock, Right Club Radio. People behind the Right Club at the Hideout, they have been bringing Right Club Radio, where they bring two writers in studio. One writer leaves. It's as simple as that. Although that doesn't really work in a radio studio. It's better in a Thunderdome, you know, because then you're essentially someone dies. But in this case, where does the other writer go?
Yeah, who cleans up?
Who cleans up? So we'll have some great writers in here, and we'll take on the topic of usually whether it's dark light or what we've done some in the past that were fun, but the one we're doing tonight is boss versus employee. So that'll be fun to do. So that's coming up in the 10 o'clock hour. Also, live music from the band Kodiak. We're playing at the Uncommon Ground in Wrigleyville this weekend. So we'll talk with them and hear some live music. Well, the Empty Bottle is one of the great rock clubs in Chicago, tucked away in Ukrainian Village. The club has been consistently bringing great rock and roll and punk music that you really can't find elsewhere. The Bottle isn't fighting with other clubs for acts. It's not like, are we going to play the Riv or are we going to play Empty Bottle? It's usually the Empty Bottle has been the place for, you know, they've given so many bands their breaks, their shot on stage, their first Chicago show, and even their return Chicago show. And don't take my word for it. A new collection of stories and essays is coming out in early June called The Empty Bottle Chicago, 21 plus years music friendly dancing, which of course is the awning on the top of The Empty Bottle. The editor of this collection is John Dugan. He's a former senior web editor at Time Out Chicago, right?
Yeah.
And he joins me now. John, thanks for being here.
Thank you.
This is a great book, and it's coming out. It's beautifully put out. And why did you decide to sort of put this together? What was the impetus to chronicle the stories of The Empty Bottle?
Well, the project kind of had already started before I came on board. They were asking for submissions, and I think they were thinking of it as almost a literary piece where aspiring writers would sort of submit their experiences at the Empty Bottle. And I think they got a few things in, but it wasn't really taking off. And they came to me, and I think I had sort of the background and some of the connections to talk to people that had been with the Empty Bottle since its inception and along the way. And then from there, I really went about sort of, you know, drawing on my journalism background and doing lots of interviews when there wasn't a written piece already available.
Right.
So we'd sort of say, hey, do you want to submit something? Do you want to do an interview?
How do you want to do
part
it?
Part of this?
Right. Right.
And really just reaching out to as many relevant people as possible.
That's one of the great things about the book is just the community that you bring together, whether it be Ken Vandermark or Mike Lust I saw in there. I know Mike for years. Just the idea of these people who have had not only experiences performing on stages, but have gone to the Empty Bottle. That's really what this is about, the heart and soul of what makes that place tick.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's in a way, it's kind of this crossroads, this hub for people in what we used to call sort of the underground, musical underground, which I don't think really is a musical underground anymore. It's very accessible. But, if you go back to the 90s, one of the things that brought all these people together is that they were kind of doing music that was pretty far outside the mainstream. Mm-hmm. You know, we forget how far, whatever garage rock was outside the mainstream before the Hives and the White Stripes
Right.
hit the charts. You know what I mean? It was music that kind of needed its own place. And so I think that's where you would have free jazz people and punk people and post-rock, you know, musicians crossing paths.
How did you come across The Empty Bottle? I mean, this is a book that's about experiences. What was your first sample?
So my first experience, and I tell the story in the book, and I didn't want to sort of bore people with my brief career as a touring musician, but it was relevant in that I had a year where I was sort of guest drumming for this band called Edsel, a band I had grown up going to see in the DC area. And then I graduated from college and they needed a drummer. Had this big tour booked, and their booking agent was in Chicago. And we actually, the first night I went to the Empty Bottle, we didn't play the Empty Bottle, we played the Lounge Acts. And a big theme in the book is sort of this rivalry between the Lounge Jacks and the Empty Bottle.
Yeah.
Of course, some people say there was no rivalry. We kind of have a really wide range of opinions on that in the book. But anyway, we played a show at the Lounge Jacks, and then somebody said, hey, we're going to go over to this new place and play a dice game. And so it was just ended up being one of these really fun nights. And then the next time we were I was coming through town with another band. I think we played the Empty Bottle. It was kind of up and running. So, yeah, I mean, I had this experience even before I lived here of visiting there and playing there. And I think I played there 3 or 4 times in the mid-90s as a touring musician. And I knew people, this guy, John Solomon, he used to be kind of a big, you know, connector of people around here in Chicago. Mm-hmm. He had a radio show at Northwestern in the early 90s. And he ended up being hired as the booker at the Empty Bottle and booked there for a few years. Yeah. But anyway, so, you know, I had all these connections and I had a background with the Empty Bottle even before I moved to Chicago. So that was part of it.
It's interesting, the rivalry between the Lounge Jacks and Empty Bottle, because they almost, even though they were definitely contemporaries, they do seem like different times. When you think of the Empty Bottle, 21 plus years being a rock club, I mean, that doesn't necessarily happen. I mean, obviously we have, you know, some clubs that are at that level. You think of Metro, places like that, you know, and Chicago has a pretty strong history when it comes to rock clubs. But to be a neighborhood place that doesn't necessarily, you know, attract the mainstream audience, the Empty Bottle has persevered 21 plus years at Western in Augusta. It's always been off the beaten path.
Yeah, and that's really, you know, I mean, I think that's part of the story, is that how this place happened and how it happened just sort of on the edge of the frontier of where sort of artists and musicians wanted to go in that era. I mean, it could have gone either way. I mean, mm-hmm. It's a little bit hard to figure out why things worked out. I think part of it was starting slow. They didn't do music every night of the week when they first started. I think it was like 3 nights of the week. And then sort of building gradually to being sort of a full-blown rock club.
Yeah, I think of the Empty Bottle as, and for people who may not have ever been to the Empty Bottle, I mean, it really is a place that a lot of touring bands come through that don't get radio play, that they don't have, you know, they're not your typical kind of mainstream sort of major label rock band. That's not what's coming through. But a lot of indie rock, a lot of, like you mentioned, punk music coming through. But it really is, in a strange way, an introduction to Chicago. The bands that come through, they're from all over the world. They come through, I mean, the international people come through. And the Empty Bottle is what may be the only thing they get from the city of Chicago. And so tell us about the Empty Bottle and what it is as that sort of ambassador.
Yeah, well, that's a very good point. So one of the things that we really discovered in the interviews, especially from the staff, was that there's always been sort of this consideration for the musician and the artist. It's very, very kind of designed to be artist friendly and treat the artist and musician with respect. And they may be an opening band. They may not be a band you've heard of. I think the staff, the people that choose to work there, are usually music obsessed, if not musicians themselves. So, they want people to have a good time. And it also really became, you know, in a way, sort of a word of mouth marketing thing, where they're saying, we were treated really well at this place. We were, you know, fed at, there's a restaurant right next door. So bands that I would talk to from out of town, there's a band called The Grifters, who in the 90s, where I thought were really an innovative, like just interesting, bizarre, unique band. And one of their sort of home bases became the Empty Bottle. And, you know, the Empty Bottle would almost play a game where they'd kind of see how much these guys could drink and still put on a great show. Because they're sort of one of those bands that's, you know, they teeter on the edge of being sloppy, but it ends up usually being beautiful. So in talking to them, you know, they would sort of talk about the Empty Bottle as this kind of oasis. And this, from my brief touring career, I remember the same thing, where there would be certain places where you'd think, oh, well, we may have a couple lousy nights, but when we get to Chicago, we know people that work at this place. We know we're going to get fed. We know people are going to turn out because people that know music are drawn to this place. So, and I don't think it's the only place in Chicago or the only place in the Midwest like that, but I think something about the Empty Bottle, it attracts those kind of people.
Yeah, but it's also, there is something about the Empty Bottle that is unique, and it may be its location. And Ukrainian Village, right on the cusp of Humboldt Park there at Western and Augusta, a little bit off the beaten path of Wicker Park, Bucktown, or some of the more traditional lounge acts, was in Lincoln Park. The Metro was in Wrigleyville. There is this idea that, okay, we're going to stay here, and then we're going to eat at Bite, and then let's go to Stella's, or let's go to the other, there's the Polish bar that's like one door down from there,
right,
where you're
right.
Like, this is not what I'm used to, and I love it.
Right.
Like, that's the vibe I always get when I go to Empty Bottle. I'm like, this is Chicago. This is what I want from a city.
Yeah, and you're literally put smack dab in a sort of interesting, historically ethnic neighborhood, which doesn't necessarily exist anywhere else in the country. So that's sort of an interesting experience. I think also the Rainbow ended up being a driver for why the Empty Bottle worked, because people are already sort of hanging out there. You know, musicians were moving into this area, and that people didn't, you know, you couldn't necessarily go to the Rainbow every night. Well, there's another place where you can see people play music or just hang out.
Or just
somebody's
going to
play records.
Right.
And yeah, I mean, it was kind of, you know, going to see this guy, you know, Matt Fields, one of the bartenders, play records was kind of an early introduction to the bar for a lot of people before it sort of had that reputation.
You mentioned Rainbow. You mentioned how you said this about the Empty Bottle. You know, I think of days harking back to blues clubs in Chicago. Chicago had a tremendous, you know, time where blues clubs were it. You would go in it seemed like every two blocks would be a blues club. And that's gone by the wayside.
Yeah.
That's just not around anymore. It's a relic of the past if you find one. Do rock clubs, do you see that having the same sort of arc where, you know, we may be in 20, 30 years going, oh, man, remember when Chicago was a rock town? Do you remember when Chicago used to have places like the Empty Bottle? Or is there enough support for these places that they're going to stick around forever?
There's part of me that thinks that you may be right, that I don't know that the number of venues we have is really sustainable in the long run. I know that perhaps for bands, it's might end up in some ways not being the best thing because there's so much competition and they can be paid. Somebody else is going to take the gig. You know, clubs probably don't have that hard a time finding someone to play. So I don't know. I think right now Chicago is really spoiled. I mean, we have a lot of independently run venues. Speaking with Jim DeRogatis for the book, one thing that, you know, he pointed out, and he and I are both originally from the East Coast, is that a lot of the places or the towns where we used to see shows on the East Coast, their rock venues, even under the under 500 level, are now owned by larger media.
They got picked up by the big, you know, jams and the
events. Yeah. So whatever you think of that, Chicago is a little bit special in that we not only do we have numerous venues, most of them are independently owned. And we, you know, we have an embarrassment of riches. I mean, there's so many things you can go see. And I'm old enough to remember when that wasn't so. You'd sort of be, you know, there'd be a show coming up on that Friday or that Sunday or something, and you'd sort of be pumped up about that one thing.
And that was
there
it.
Wouldn't
Everyone
be
would be
five
there.
Things yeah. a night that you could do. So I don't know. Maybe it is sustainable, but maybe it's also just has to do with the way our culture is urbanizing. Like there are more people want to live in the cities, more younger people want to live in the cities, and that can sustain the number of venues we have.
Well, the book is The Empty Bottle, Chicago, 21 plus years, Music Friendly Dancing. It's a collection of stories and essays. The editor is John Dugan. It's coming out in early June. It's great. It's not only stories, like you said, and essays from some great people here in Chicago who have been a part of those scenes, but there's posters and pictures, and there's a real sense of of what made The Empty Bottle special and continues to make it special. John, thanks so much for taking some time out to talk to us tonight, and good luck with the launch of the book in June.
Thanks so much.